Hi, my name's Paul Baines. I'm Professor of Political Marketing at Cranfield University and co-author with Chris Phil, Sarah Rosengrunt and Paolo Antonetti of Fundamentals of Marketing by Oxford University Press. Chapter 7, Pricing and Value Creation. In this chapter, we explain the concept of price elasticity of demand. We describe how customers perceive price. We understand pricing strategies and how to price new offerings. We explain cost, competitor demand, and value-oriented approaches to pricing, and we explain how pricing operates in the business-to-business setting. First up then, price elasticity of demand. The concept of price elasticity of demand was first developed in the field of economics, and price elasticity of demand is equal to the percentage change in quantity demanded divided by the percentage change in price. So when the price of an offering rises or falls, the quantity demanded falls or rises the other way around. So for example, in a meta-analysis of a set of 1,851 price elasticities, based on 81 studies, the average price elasticity was found to be -2.62. In other words, and these goods included consumer durables and other types of products, a 10% increase in price would produce an average 26.2% decrease in quantity demanded. So typically, for most goods, the price elasticity of demand is somewhere between -9 and -1. But the average is -2.62. So bear that in mind when you think about changes in price and how it would affect consumer demand. The term price tends to generally mean the amount of money expected, required, or given in payment for something. But how do we go about developing price? Well, the first thing to remember is that price has a relationship with costs. It's not the same thing. Sometimes they're mixed up. But pricing, for pricing, you want to understand how it relates to costs. So total revenue is typically equal to the volume sold of something multiplied by its unit price. And the profit generated is the total revenue minus the total costs. It's also important to recognize that price is actually one of the most important elements of the marketing mix, because it's the only component that actually provides the profit for the company. So the price at which a proposition is set is important, because increases in price have a disproportionately positive effect on profits. In one study undertaken by a group at McKinsey, it was identified that a 1% improvement in price achieves an average 8.7% improvement in operating profit. But a 1% improvement in costs only achieves a 5.9% improvement in operating profit. A 1% improvement in volume sales achieves a 2.8% improvement in operating profit. And a 1% improvement in fixed cost achieves only a 1.8% improvement in operating profit. In other words, if you want to seriously improve the bottom line, the best thing you can do is increase price. And that means also not offering discounts and not giving operating profits away. Customers have different perceptions, of course, of price, quality, and value. We can think of perceived quality of a particular product. So expensive cars are not necessarily of better quality, they may be of perceived quality. And for many people, there is no concept of a price-quality relationship, but for many others, there is, and for certain product areas, there is too. So sometimes we think of wine having a direct relationship with the higher price it is, the better quality it is, and for some people think that's true. But is it a proportional relationship? So is a wine that's five times more expensive, say, £50 bottle of wine, really five times better than a £10 bottle of wine, for example? And there's a relationship between quality and price, the relationship between perceived value, product quality, and pricing levels. So this really comes to the definition of value. Value is defined as the regard that something is held to deserve. It's the worth that's placed in it by someone. So people will pay different amounts based on how they value a particular product. We can think of different influences on people's price perceptions. So for example, there's various antecedents that link into how people perceived prices. It may be based on beliefs about that product, based on the prices that they think they've paid in the past or they remember paying. Maybe they've bought those products in the past at certain prices. How conscious they are of prices. Are they bothered about prices? Maybe they're sensitive to prices. Maybe they're on a low budget. Maybe they're not on a low budget, but they just don't want to pay lots of money for something. Maybe there's certain cultural factors. There's research that indicates that people will be prepared to pay different amounts from different ethnic groups. Or maybe it's just to do with their characteristics, the consumer's characteristics. So prices are influenced by, price perceptions are influenced by reference prices, by perceptions of quality, by how aware people are of brands, by the loyalty to the brand, by the familiarity that they have with the product, and the extent to which they have information about that particular product. And that all links into whether they're willing to pay for that product or not, and whether they actually go out and pay for it when it's available in the marketplace. Let's think about pricing strategies. There are key types of pricing strategies, which four main types. Premium pricing, where you charge a high price. So, for example, Aston Martin prices its DB11. In this way, at around £150,000 per car. Very few people, of course, the top 1% of the world population can afford a car of that price. Penetration pricing, that occurs when the price is set low relative to the competition to gain market share. And Amazon adopted that approach to build its very, very substantial customer base that it has now. You may economy price, so the prices are set at the bare minimum to attract price-sensitive customers. Examples in the airline market, of course, are Ryanair, EasyJet originally, but maybe they've changed a little bit now. If you think of grocery stores, then Jumbo in the Netherlands would be an example here, or Aldi all over Europe, or Walmart in the United States. And finally, price skimming. In this model, the price is initially set high, then lowered in sequential steps. Apple and other technological providers tend to adopt this strategy. So they start with a high price and then slowly bring the price down over time. When we launch new products, we tend to price either with a market skimming price or a market penetration price. So market skimming price is where we bring down the price over time, and the penetration price is where we price low. When we actually go about pricing, we can do it in four key different ways. We can use a cost-oriented approach where we work out what the prices, we work out the prices based on what our costs are and add some kind of margin. The demand-oriented approach where we work out what people are prepared to pay based on how sensitive they are to the prices and how that impacts demand. We might also look at what competitors are charging, and there's a so that's a competitor-oriented approach, and there's the value-oriented approach where prices are set based on what customers believe offers the most value to customers. So those are the four main ways in which we go about pricing. But let's think now about pricing management and pricing tactics. So in reality, when setting prices, an organization trades off the different approaches against each other by considering all of the following factors: competition, how much are competitors charging, cost, how much do the individual components that make up our offering cost, demand, how much of this product or service will we sell at what price, and value, what components of the offering the customers value and how much are they prepared to pay. Business to business pricing is slightly different. So that was for consumer products, for business to business products. Then there may be prices based on different geographies. So sometimes prices are set at different levels in different countries. Pharmaceuticals is a case in point. Sometimes there's negotiated pricing, which is actually a kind of haggling over the price. Sometimes there's discount pricing, where they reduce the price on the basis that a customer commits to buying a large volume of something. There may be value in use pricing, where the customer focuses attention on customer perceptions of the attributes of offerings and away from cost-oriented approaches. Then it prices offerings based on what the customer is prepared to pay for individual benefits received from that proposition. That's quite an involved research process to determine that, but that's used in a lot of industrial propositions. Relationship pricing, maybe based around loyalty or discounts on future sales revenue or the risk involved in the purchase. Amazingly, there's an approach called pay what you want pricing, which CMS, the legal firm CMS Cameron McKenna, used to price its legal services for corporate clients. There's transfer pricing, where you might large organizations in which there's considerable internal dealing between different customer divisions, sorry, different company divisions, charge different prices across national boundaries. There's the economic value to the customer pricing approach. Here, company prices an offering according to its perceived value by the purchasing organization. And there's tendering and bid pricing, where organizations invite other organizations to bid for the right to deliver a particular job and to name their own price. And those, broadly, are the key ways in which we develop our pricing strategies.